All right, here we go on a Wednesday. It is Cody and Gold live from Chiefs training camp. Fans were here. They are currently.
Well, they still are currently.
Well, they are being asked to leave.
That is correct.
As we hop on the air, it is starting to get very, very dark. If you take a peek at the radar, we're about to get nailed by some thunderstorms here very quickly. My understanding is we were told that once it's within 16 miles, they kick fans out. When it's within 10, the players go inside. So I think both are going to eventually happen, but fans are being told to leave the practice facility for their own safety with the weather in the area. I'm guessing the Chiefs have another 10 minutes or so of practice outside before maybe they move inside as well. We'll keep an eye on that. We'll stay on the air as long as we can out here at Mo West as well. We will have Chris Jones on the show after practice. We were told even if they move inside, he's expected to call into the show.
That's correct.
Hope to have Chris Jones exclusively on the show. It's been a couple years since we talked to him. We're looking forward to that. We're also expected to hear, I believe, from Andy Reid after practice today.
Travis Kelce speaks after practice today.
After practice today. So we'll see. Also, schedule is completely fluid once the weather becomes an issue with practice and everything. But I must say, it feels great outside, so we appreciate you guys that did make the drive up here. I know we had a few people yesterday at practice during one of the breaks mentioned that they were listening through the Odyssey app while they were in the bleachers. So we appreciate those of you that are listening to the show while you're watching practice.
Very much so. We very much appreciate that. And, yeah, a shame fans are being asked to leave. Stinks if you got up here that you only got a little bit of it. Chiefs are going to keep practicing at least in the meantime. I do think it is moving south, so I would expect it to be there. From practice notes perspective, still no Hollywood. Same four guys who have been missing are missing. I'm not going to go into those names every single time, but no Hollywood Brown, no Jake Brenningstuhl, no Christian Fulton's on the pup list. The guys who haven't been practicing are not practicing. New additions to that, though, are Cam Jones and, more importantly, Rashee Rice, who came down the hill, not in any kind of pad or any sort. There's been no update yet on why it is he missed practice or is missing practice, but he was working over in the medical tent over on the side, but not playing in the actual portion of practice.
And they are
this time, and players are now officially heading inside.
Yep.
So Alex and I will very soon, Drew, be broadcasting from inside a tube metal stand with no one here. To no one. I'll be talking to the practice dummies for the next 4 hours, if we make it. Look, I will admit
we'll
on
be
the
fine.
Air,
we'll be fine.
If for some reason it got severe enough that we had to pack up, we will do such and make Drew tell you about why Cincinnati should do a whiteout. I won't make it do that, actually.
I'm not going to do that.
Chiefs content instead. I'm not. That would actually discourage people.
We'll play the best of Drew's takes.
No, we will not.
Over and over.
He's just going to play Flight of the Bumblebees the entire time as an epic tribute to my wasp sting 2 days ago. We will have content for you if for some reason we have to pack up.
Yeah, we'll be on the air as long as we can. We'll be fine. We'll be fine up here. We'll keep an eye on things. We've got plenty of stuff if we need to hop off for a couple minutes or whatever if things get bad enough. But they are headed inside for practice. It is a bummer for fans, obviously. Can't control the weather and everything. But go back to what you were saying, Cody, before they started running inside.
No, Rashee Rice.
Rashee Rice. We don't know what it is yet, so it truly is just a complete guess at this point in time. Don't like seeing it. So many different things it could be. He did walk on his own, though, down the hill. If he was, like, Hollywood Brown has not been on the practice field, even in the trainer's tent.
Nope.
That's the discrepancy here. And Rice was actually walking down the hill. You would like to make it think that that's minor. We were going to start the show anyway talking about Rashee Rice because yesterday, Jordan Addison, wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings, found out his suspension is going to be 3 games from the NFL. Now, his was for driving under the influence. Now, he pled to a lesser charge, but it still stems from driving while intoxicated. And I think a lot of us from the outside have looked at Addison's situation and said, well, Rashee Rice is likely to get more than Addison. And I don't want to get into the, like, moral of what's worse, what's not. Yeah, Rashee Rice, there were people that were injured in his case. I am not saying drunk driving is not a serious thing. That is not what I'm saying. But
no,
his punishment is most likely going to be more severe than Addison's, and I think it kind of makes sense that that'll be the case. I'll stick with the 4 to 6 game range for a potential suspension for Rashee Rice, and I think the fact that Addison's news came yesterday
means we're probably close on Rice.
It could be today. It could be tomorrow. It's going to be very, very close in terms of a suspension, you would think, because Addison's court case was resolved basically the same day. I think it was actually July 17th as well, or June 17th, or whatever it was. And so I think we're going to learn Rashee Rice's situation very soon as well.
I think part of what adds an issue to it, Gold, is that you people, and look, the NFL doesn't like that you do this, and they certainly don't want to do it themselves. You are saying what's more, because, like, here's the truth. He drove and pled to a lesser charge. They have a static. If you get a DUI, you plead to a DUI 4 games, that's the thing. They've now set a new standard that if you plead to this wet driving, you get 3 games, right? They lessened it by 1 game, but they kept it almost as harsh as a penalty as the one for a DUI. Okay, so we're in the same range. We're somewhere in that ballpark. Then, the way that this thing works, Gold, is that they're going to have to make a decision on Rashee Rice, but this is complicated because in Jordan Addison's case, no one was injured. People were hurt, Gold. So, like, if someone was injured in this, I think it'll take a few more days, but also, that's why it's going to be a more severe punishment. Whether you think the risk of the behavior is different is not how the NFL or how, honestly, Gold, the legal system handles these things. A lot of times, the severity of the punishment is related to what happened after you committed that crime. Both people could commit armed robbery, but if somebody dies in an armed robbery, they're in more trouble. So, like, it's just the way that these things work is that because Rashee Rice has resulted in an accident in which people got hurt, my guess is that it's definitely more than 3 games, okay? It's 4 to 6 or something like that, don't you think?
Yes, and I think that's what we're going to see happen from the NFL. And I wonder, with seeing the prior incidents in the NFL and you know, the whole send a message kind of thing, if that changes how the league approaches it. As you brought up the kind of the comparison to Henry Ruggs, obviously that resulted in a death, and he's in prison for that. Because that happened, does the NFL come down even harder on Rashee Rice?
This dangerous driving stuff.
Yeah, and look, there is...
drunk driving is dangerous. They didn't come down any harder.
That's what I said. Like, we get into this weird game. It's the same thing with the Justin Tucker, Deshaun Watson stuff, right? They were not criminally charged, ever. But there's obviously there's civil cases, and there's very serious accusations and allegations that are out there. The NFL still suspended those guys. So I don't know exactly if the Addison news changes the length of suspension. It's more like the timing of when we're going to find out for me. I think we're going to find out very, very soon. I mean, honestly, it could happen today.
It could. I think it's 3 or more now. I think 4 or more now, Gold, is probably my estimate.
Yeah. People on the text line are mentioning the wind. Yeah, our apologies. Nothing really can really do. We are about to be in the middle of severe weather as practice has been moved inside.
Does it help if I cover my microphone with my hands?
We have turned our backs from the wind. We have tried to put our hand around the microphones.
We are doing our best.
Yeah. If it gets really, really bad, we'll have to just cut inside. But look, I think Rashee Rice, we all know, week one for sure. And the question is he back by, you know, the Bills game? What is the Bills game? Week 7, week 9? It's a little bit later. Like, is he back for those? Is he up to speed and ready to go?
As far as six for the Lions.
Not practicing today. That part's really not that concerning. We just don't know exactly what the injury is, but good enough where he was able to walk down the hill.
Well, in a weird way, Gold, he's helped by the fact that if for some reason there is a minor injury, do I need to panic that there's a minor injury, knowing that he can't probably play for the first 4 weeks of the season anyway? Like, I don't need him healthy for a preseason game, and I certainly don't need him healthy for that part. Although I will say, because he missed the entire season with an injury. Okay, this might be coming untenable.
Drew, I don't know how bad it's that.
Is this really bad?
We might have to cut to you right now. If this is, you know, I don't know how unlistenable it is for you guys back in Kansas City until the wind dies down, if the wind dies down at some point where the storm. We hadn't started raining yet, but we're about to get nailed with weather. So I don't know. You guys tell us how bad it sounds. If we can talk through it, we'll keep
Pull up the text line.
You guys tell us.
A quick weather report from Cloudy?
That would be great.
With your training camp forecast, I'm meteorologist Cloudy with a Chance. And partly cloudy today. Thunderstorms possible. Highs around 89. And if the storms hold off, hey, it's another chance to see Mahomes hit some wide open receivers. I mean, sometimes the separation on these guys makes them look like they're all alone out there. Like Gold on a Friday night. Or Saturday night. Or pick any day. I'm meteorologist Cloudy with a Chance for Cody and Gold on night.
Wow.
That was dirty.
He called you lonely, man.
That's messed up, Cloudy.
That's a low blow.
That's another shot towards me from Cloudy. And this is more proof that it's not me, guys, for those that think it's me doing the weather. That's messed up. That's really messed up.
His partly cloudy skies were, I don't, it doesn't sound accurate.
Partly cloudy. Partly cloudy skies.
Is that a chance for thunderstorms? I'd take a chance.
By the way, a lot of people on the text line saying we're louder than the wind, so they think we're okay. So we'll
I think you guys are okay right now.
Yep, good.
We will continue to try to be louder than the wind, something that I have been consistently good at for my entire life.
Yeah.
But lonely, he said, alone on a Friday night and even a Saturday.
Not true.
And or any night
messed
of
up.
The
That's
week.
Messed up.
Damn, cloudy. Woo! I thought the B puns were a little bit tough.
Mm-hmm,
no, instead, he's taken. He went straight to the love life, man. That's tough. That's really tough. No, I hope we find about the Rashee Rice stuff soon, because I do think that, like I mentioned, Gold, it's not that he has to play in any of those things, but knowing that once the suspension starts, he can't really be with the team. So he can't practice. He can't run the routes.
Yeah, he'll be with them all the way up until week one.
Yeah, but that means I want him on the field now.
Yeah.
His chance to get up in the offense after missing an entire season, similar to Hollywood Brown, same thing. I like him to be on the field to get the reps so that we can go into it. It's not.
Of course. They've had two weeks of practice.
Unbelievable.
They've had 2 weeks of practice, though, where he's been on the field, Cody. So I'm not. I think he's got enough reps with Patrick Mahomes that if he has to miss a couple practices or what have you, that's okay. I mean, he's going to be away from the facility, as you said, for possibly a month if he gets a 4-game suspension at some point in time as well. You guys can chime in. We appreciate you hanging with us. 913-586-7965. Our training camp coverage from St. Joe, if you haven't picked up on that, we're live in St. Joe, is brought to you by Break Time, Missouri's homegrown convenience stores. Download their mobile app and find a location near you. Video stream is up and running back in the studio today. Actually, you would have loved, I think, to have the video stream up and running. You guys, we would just pointed it towards the field, and you guys could have taken that in. Before we get into some Royals news, including another debut
last night. Yep, we got Burger.
Burger. There's a very popular bet out there right now for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Very, very popular bet.
One of the most bet season total unders in the one of the biggest unders. Sorry, there was a gentleman from the...
He was checking, make sure we're good. We appreciate the staff here. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. One of the most popular under bets of season totals right now in offshore and onshore betting is the Chiefs win total gold. The Kansas City Chiefs win total is one of the most bet unders in sports wagering right now. And I'll be honest, is this just from outsiders? Because there is no evidence to support that the Chiefs are going to go under their number ever. They've gone under their season beginning total number once in Patrick Mahomes' tenure as a Kansas City Chief. That number altered, as you remember, and then I won the over bet once it went down to 10.5 after they lost their first game of the season the previous year. And I guess part of me is wondering, like, let's take injury out of it for just a minute. Let's take out major injury, which obviously could affect an under, right? You lose any of your big stars, gold. Your under is a little more plausible. But presuming, and we know right now their win total still has a presumed Rashee Rice suspension in it. Barring injury, what would it take for them to hit their under? Because that would require them to win only just 11 games. And if you were going to make me guess for them to only win 11, Joshua Simmons would have to stink. Chris Jones would have to start falling off. Travis Kelce would have to get even worse than he was last year. And the deep ball would have to somehow be worse than it was last year. They won 15 games and they had problems. Like, they weren't even a perfect team then, Gold. They're slightly more complete as a roster this season. And if they get any kind of improvement out of anyone, especially left tackle, how are they hitting the under?
It goes back to the entire theme of the offseason nationally. You know, one, there's some people that are betting with their heart, meaning they're hoping and praying the Chiefs are done, right? That on a national level, they're hoping that what they saw at the Super Bowl is what they are now and all that. That we've been talking about that this entire offseason, that the belief that the dynasty is over, the run is over, all this kind of stuff from people outside of Kansas City. They're not winning 15 games again, but 11 games, even in a division that I think once again will be better and more competitive than a year ago, I just don't see it. If you believe guys are staying healthy, and that's how when you do win totals, you have to bet assuming guys are healthy. Nobody makes a bet saying, oh, well, I think Josh Allen's getting hurt this year, so I'm taking the under.
Tua's going to get a concussion.
At least that one I got some track record, unfortunately. But in general, you don't bet based off of what you think injury wise is going to happen directly on a win total. You know, and if you want to bet unders on Christian McCaffrey rushing because you think he's going to get hurt, okay, I understand that logic a little bit. I would take the over still. I think this is a 12-13 win team. They could lose two or three more games and still be fine in terms of your win total and still win the division. Now, number one seed convo, that's a whole different thing. We're not talking about that here. But a number one seed convo, yeah, I don't know if they're going to have the right number of wins to be that. I think Buffalo obviously is way better positioned schedule-wise entering the season and division-wise to get the number one seed. But win total, the Chiefs are there with the Bills, Ravens, and Eagles at 11.5 over-under.
Yeah, but, like, why are they, like, the Ravens and the Eagles, like, and again, I don't think the Eagles are going under their win total either. I still think that their roster is close to where they were, although they lost quite a few players on the defense, and so there's a question about whether or not they can maintain that level of defense, but the interior part of the defensive line is still so good, and their offensive weapons are still so good. I have a hard time imagining they're going under their total either. I just don't understand it, mostly just because, Gold, some people, and this works from a gambling perspective or just from like a where you think the Chiefs are going to end up win total-wise, you have to factor in their history. Their win total every year is 10.5, 11.5 games. And every year, except one, they manage to, you know, get us in there. We are being told, Drew, that we got to head out. So
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to head out, and we're going to drive back to Kansas City, and we'll see you in under an hour.
All right, sounds good. I will have everybody covered. Safe travels, boys.
All right, see ya.
All right, so there's one thing real quick, and then I got a Nick Bolton interview that I'm going to play from yesterday. If you missed it, I'm going to play that in just a moment. The guys had Nick Bolton on the show, and then we're planning on still having Chris Jones today, Matt Verderam as well, when the guys get back. The Chiefs over-under, so 11.5, they're favored in every single game this year. Every single game. So if their over-under is 11.5, if you're going just based on the Vegas odds, it's interesting that their number is 11.5. But, hey, you know what? People can keep on doubting the Chiefs, but one thing that I've learned since I've lived here, and Alex and Cody know this just as well as you do, the fans and the listeners, this team finds a way to win games that a lot of other teams don't. And when they're favored to win literally every single game, you should pay attention to that. And I would be hammering the over on the 11.5 over under win total for the Kansas City Chiefs right now. It is surprising. I think it's because people hate the Chiefs. I'll be honest. They want to see them fail. They're not going to win less than 11 games. I would be very surprised. I think a lot of other people would be as well. Anyways, Nick Bolton sat down yesterday with the guys, and one thing that they started off the conversation with is like, hey, you know, you got the contract done. You don't have to worry about that. That must be nice.
Yeah, man, it's super refreshing to be coming out here. Man, we got a lot of people with the same familiar faces, same defense, same defensive players, and same coaches. And so, yeah, it's super exciting. I'm glad everything of that department's put behind us. And we're super excited to go out here with a new opportunity. Preseason game coming up to kind of lay the foundation of what we want to do in this season, man. So I'm super excited for it.
Are you one of those guys that you're like, I need to hit somebody I don't know? It's time. Like, do you miss it? Like, do you just wait for this moment?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. Firstly, the first couple of days of training camp, obviously, I don't have pads on. So we're kind of t-shirts and shorts and just a faster OTA version of practice, if you will. But yeah, we kind of get the pads on there, kind of get the bang around a little bit and get a little physicality in the game, man. It feels like we've been forever away from football, so definitely happy to put the pads on.
Who do you like going up against right now? It's like, is there somebody you just enjoy the battle you got going on? Maybe it's a new guy. Maybe it's someone you've obviously been doing this for a while.
Yeah, man. We came in together, Trey, Creed, and me. So, yeah, we've been working every single day, man. I understand those guys are two of the best of the biz, what they do. So every day, man, we're trying to ask each other questions and just trying to play off each other a little bit and just learning as we play and as we go, man. I think that's kind of how iron sharpens iron.
We always say, like, it's a business. So, like, everybody understands that is a part of it. You mentioned Creed, Trey, and you. Like, how fortunate, I guess, do the trio of you feel that despite the fact some guys got to go find other teams or go other places, you guys are locked up together?
Yeah.
You guys get to come do this together.
Yeah, man, it's super special. Having those guys stay with us, we understand it's part of this business that guys up and leave, man. And but just happy that we've made everything work. Some people, they got paid before us, and us as well, man. Just kind of helping everybody stay together, keeping the nucleus of guys that we drafted, including Noah Gray along with that, and the bunch of keeping us together, man. So we've been bonding together, man. We've kind of been growing throughout this league together and getting better. So, yeah, super fun, super exciting. Just excited what we got for the season.
Three guys, everybody got a new contract. Who picks up the check?
Right now we got Trey, man. Trey was the last one, so it's the freshest in his account.
We're talking to Nick Bolton here on 96.5 The Fan. Steve Spagnuolo multiple times, including here at camp, has said you're kind of the Mahomes of the defense, which is obviously very, very high praise. What does that mean to you when you hear that? Obviously, you're well aware of it.
Yeah, man. We just got the keys to the car, man. That's how Coach Reed trusts Pat to go out there and put him in the best play possible. How to give his playmakers a chance to go out there and make plays. It's kind of likewise with me. We got plays, we have checks, we got calls to go through throughout the week, and he just kind of gives me the keys to the cars and the liberty to put us in the best defense possible to give us the best play. So having his trust, having his, I guess, his blessing, and making sure getting guys lined up and having the freedom to make new plays and correct plays where I feel like it's fit, and it's super special.
Everybody talks about, like, oh, he's wearing the green dot. It's just something that everybody knows what we mean by that, but can you fill us in? I guess we would need to hear the audio, but like, what's it like wearing that? Because you're here in spags and everything, but also like, it's so muffled and stuff, right? Like, how do you handle that?
Yeah, our fans make it very hard at Arrowhead to hear spags while he's talking, man. But it's just kind of, he's just throwing out, gives out the call, gives out maybe one or two checks, or give us something maybe to look at or an alert. So it's a lot of information compounded in those 14-ish seconds that we have to kind of hear him talk on a one-way mic. But yeah, man, it's super fun, man. I love the job I got, man. It kind of brings the best out of me.
How much more freedom has he given you over the years? So like last year, did you have even more than the year before? And, like, how much are you allowed to kind of change things as you go?
Yeah, man, I think every year I've been taking a step and kind of just giving me a little bit more freedom as I prove that I can do that. Definitely started off my first year as a starter, man, kind of very, very strict on making sure that I just call what we have. It's one or two things that I see or just have some rhyme or reason why I'm doing it. But now I think it's just a full trust. I understand what he wants to accomplish, and I do too, and I'm just trying to make sure all 11 guys are on the same page.
On the flip side of the field, everybody's been talking about, you know, with Hollywood and Xavier and now Rasheed, everybody kind of working together for the first time since the injuries last year. The offense look faster to you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You're on this side.
Absolutely, man. They're fresh. They're rejuvenated. You can tell that they're hungry. They want to go out there and help 15, do what he needs to do, man. Yeah, I mean, we're fast out there on offense, man. I feel it. My hamstrings feel it as well. But we're super fast, man. It's super exciting to see all those guys healthy flying around. And, yeah, man, it's going to build confidence as we keep going.
Now, look, I'm a KU guy. You're an MU guy. You didn't have a chance to play in the Border War, but it's
Absolutely.
Coming back in September.
Yeah.
I know you heard about it when you were at Mizzou and everything, but what's your reaction to that? And did you have, like, do you have the same level of hate towards Kansas as a university, even though you didn't play in that rivalry?
Yeah, obviously super excited that we can kind of renew that rivalry. I never obviously didn't have a chance to participate in it, but I've heard stories about it, heard about the great games, I heard about the Border Wars and all that type of stuff, man. I'm super excited that we can kind of bring back that rivalry. I'm just excited back to the state of Missouri and Kansas being so close. So, oh yeah, man, super excited, and I got Miz by 14.
Oh, by 14. So you're no respect. No respect for Kansas. Do you wish you played in that rivalry, though?
Oh, absolutely, man. Yeah. I see how much our fans show up in at our stadium. Sometimes they're wearing blue. A lot of times they're wearing red. And sometimes they're also wearing black and gold. So having that excitement back into our states, I think that'd be super exciting for us.
You got them by 14. So what do you think about their just hopes this year? They're back in the college football playoff, is your guess, I'm guessing?
Yeah, man, I'm hoping so, man. I think we've done a great job of extending coaches, getting some new guys in there. I have a sibling down there, so he kind of keeps me a little bit informed on what's going on, man. But I like what we're doing. We just got to make sure we stack these wins up.
When you look at what now I'm just curious, because we go scroll, you know, like we get ready to have a player on. We're like, oh, go look at their Instagram, their Twitter. We'll see what they're up to on social media, see how they spend their free time. You're not on social a ton.
No.
So what do you do in your free time? What are you doing that we can't see?
Yeah, man, I just kind of like to kick my feet up. I'm a big family guy. Kind of keep my business out of the way a little bit. I enjoy family time. I go out to Arizona. I join the sun a little bit. Got some time before it gets a little bit too hot outside to go hiking, play with my dog, swim a little bit, man, just kick my feet up. I like to relax. I kind of be away from everybody. But this is working for me. Kind of gives me peace of mind. We'll get back and do what I need to do. Give me a couple months to mentally refresh, man, and come back here, refocus for what I got to do.
You so more of an outdoors guy a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. Born and raised in Edgewood, Texas. Country guy, so I love the outdoors.
All right, so this is good. So my co-host, he's back today, but he was mowing his yard, all right?
Uh-huh.
And he ran over. He thought it was a bee nest, but it was a hornet's nest. He got stung in the lip. There's a photo he
it's
can show you.
Now.
It's much better today.
Yeah.
Have you ever been stung by a bee, and if so, where?
I have not, but one story That's I will crazy. Tell you is my little sibling. We're working on our gate, walked outside the door, and like the gate, the nest was connected to the gate, and he was like four. So, I mean, they went flying and attacking his ear, man. From then on out, man, I made sure I stayed away from him.
You stay clear.
Oh, yeah.
Look at this photo.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you got a little fat lip right there, man.
Oh, dude, it hurt.
Yeah, we've been giving him a hard time.
But it hurt.
We've been giving
it was the worst.
We said he should have hired someone to begin with, and he still ended up having to pay someone to get rid of the nest after all this.
Amen.
Is there a thing that you just, like, you love being able to pay for, you know, like lawn care, any of it? Is there something you're like, I'm glad I don't pay, like, someone folds your laundry, I don't care anything?
No, no, actually my parents like to come over and from the country, so I have to mow my lawn. So I think that's one of the things that I'm glad my dad loves to do it, so I'm messing my allergies being outside, especially coming out here. I don't have to come out here and work and coming home and mow my lawn.
You
so
just get him a nice mower?
Oh, yeah, we got one of them Egos, man. pretty nice.
All right, so that was a replay of the guys talking with Nick Bolton. As we're driving back, when we come back, something that we've been trying to get to actually for the last couple of days, haven't been able to get to it. Kentucky shared their revenue share plan regarding basketball, what it means for Kansas basketball and Kansas football. Also, I'm wearing a K-State shirt. I don't know if you can see it on the stream. Shout out to the K-State people out there who keep on bashing me. Anyways, we'll talk some K-State as well. I got a new podcast coming out today. We'll detail that a little bit more. It's a K-State preview. We'll talk about that next as Cody and Go continues on 96.5 The Fan. Cody Gold returns. You're on 96.5 The Fan. You want to participate, 913-586-7965. The guys are headed back from St. Joe as they try to dodge the weather, but they had to get out of there. So, in the meantime, I'm going to hold it down for y'all. Again, 913-586-7965. You want to be part of the show. Text in. One thing that we haven't gotten to the last couple of days that was reported and we were going to get to it is Kentucky, University of Kentucky, announced their basketball rev share. They'll be dedicating, according to CBS Sports' Matt Norlander, 45% of the $20.5 million that they get in share and revenue shared cap towards the men's basketball team. So they're almost dedicating half the budget that they have for all sports. All universities have this that have opted into the collective bargaining deal. KU, MU, K-State have, for reference, and we'll get to KU in a second. But 45% of the $20.5 million comes out to about $9.2 million. Now there's been talks of equity and spending everything equally across the amount of sports, but for now, Kentucky can spend the money they want to spend the money. KU can spend the money how they want to spend the money, as can K-State, as can Missouri. And when this is interesting, we've talked about it on the show before previously, is if you're Kansas, historically, obviously, very much a basketball school. You got Darren Peterson coming in. You've got a bunch of other guys who are going to be in the fold this year. NIL playing a big part, of course, in the recruiting process now. How much money does KU dedicate towards basketball, and how does that impact the football program? We've talked about that on the 249 Miles of College Football podcast. If you want, you can go listen to it wherever you get your podcasts. More on K-State in a second and in the podcast. But as it pertains to KU, I think it's the most interesting for Kansas because Kentucky theoretically is admitting we're not spending as much money on football. So as a result, that football program, theoretically speaking, you would assume is going to falter a little bit because they're spending so much money with basketball. How does that affect Lance Leipold? How does that affect KU football? You know, it's going to be really interesting, and I don't know if we're even going to be able to know after this year or after next year, but as we get more data over the next couple of years, we'll start to find out how KU is dedicating their resources, how Missouri is dedicating their resources, how K-State is dedicating their resources. Obviously, they've got a lot of money to spend. K-State has shown that with Coleman Hawkins, PJ Haggerty now coming into the fold with basketball, and keeping Avery Johnson in Manhattan also had a role to play, getting Dylan Edwards to come back to the homeland, if you will, the area that he's from, and go to Manhattan as well. NIL plays such a big role in this that it's going to be interesting to see with the revenue share how things sit for the football and basketball programs. As we've seen Missouri get better at basketball, what is their dedication of resources going to be? It's a really interesting thing because each school can essentially spend the money differently in how they see fit. And some of it's up to the coaches. Some of it is up to the ADs as well. We'll get into that, I'm sure, as the years go by. But on the 249 Miles of College Football podcast, today I recorded an interview with Cole Carmody. He's the recruiting editor over at Go Power Cat for 24/7 Sports. And I'm going to have an interview later on today. It's going to post. But we talked about the NIL stuff for K-State, and he mentioned how much money actually is dedicated towards
K-State and the budget that they've actually been able to spend, where your expectations in regards to the recruiting for K-State should continue to be high. You know, they brought in Lincoln Cure, a lot of high expectations for him in K-State in general. But today's the K-State preview. Going to come out later today. It'll be on video for the first time. We got video going as well as audio. So however you get your podcast, you'll be able to catch it on YouTube as well. And I don't know if I've said this on the show. This football season, after games, I'll be going on Instagram Live on the station's account. So go follow the station, 96.5 The Fan, or at The Fan 96.5 on Instagram. And you'll be able to participate in post-game conversation after KU, MU, and a K-State games as well. So, yeah, I got the K-State shirt on for all of y'all, too, the K-State fans, because today's K-State Day on the 249 Miles of College Football podcast. One of the things that the guys are going to get into as well a little bit later, as we are also anticipating to be joined by Chris Jones. Yes, that Chris Jones on the show. Matt Verderam also was planning on joining the guys in person after practice, still making sure hopefully that we can get him on the show as well. So you can look forward to those guys joining Cody and Gold when they get back here in studio. Is the conversation around the offense and the expectations and the deep ball. And one of the guys we mentioned yesterday regarding Camp Darling stuff, and I don't know if you guys feel the same way. A lot of people in the text line have really liked what Breshard Smith has done to this point. But he got hit. I saw this video sent out. I don't know if you saw it on social media from Matt Verderam. Breshard Smith, Mahomes hit him on a deep ball. And there's part of me that really thinks that he's going to shine in this offense. And I know, and that's no slight to Elijah Mitchell, who is going to be solid, and Kareem Hunt, of course, in the backfield, as well as Isaiah Pacheco. But to me, and Elijah Mitchell and Breshard Smith are more similar than Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco. But when you look at the makeup of the running back room, and I don't know if you feel the same way, 913-586-7965, Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco are the thunder, if you will, of the backfield. Elijah Mitchell has proven at times to be that lightning, but I think Breshard Smith and what he brings to the table, and our guy Bink has brought this up multiple times, his history as a wide receiver is something that I think plays into the hands of the Chiefs and the offense more than what people may realize, where you see a play like Matt Verderam posted, and it's like, yeah, I can understand why this guy's going to be utilized a lot more on third down and the passing game. So when you see a deep ball like that, it's like, okay, wheel routes. I'm expecting him there, third down. If he can pass protect, Breshard Smith is going to be involved in this offense a whole lot more, I think, than what people may just generally expect, because when you can add playmaking out of the backfield, if you can do the little things, i.e. pass protect, and you're getting trust from 15, then there's nothing that you can do wrong, essentially, in regards to the offense, and you're going to be utilized a lot more. Where Isaiah Pacheco's still going to be the guy, Kareem Hunt's still going to be the guy, but, I mean, the more reps that you get with 15 and the more plays that you make, and that's where Saturday comes around, and all of a sudden we see Breshard Smith making some plays and Jalen Royal's making some plays, and it's not necessarily with the starters, but when you get those reps and you get more comfortable with the offenses, it's a dynamic offense that Andy Reid runs. Once we get into week 4, 5, 6, 7 of the season, we might see for Breshard Smith and Jalen Royals what we've seen from Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy, where they're not necessarily getting the brunt of the workload, but they're also contributing a lot more to the offense than what we see in weeks 1, 2, and 3, if that makes sense. Earlier this morning, Jay Binkley joined Fesco and Dusty. I'm going to play this interview back for you guys, and then we'll come back up and wrap the hour. Again, this is Jay Binkley earlier this morning with Fesco and Dusty.
Defense. He's Jay Binkley. chewing tobacco, football and boobs. He knows Bobby Bowden, he knows Pete Carroll. He likes a 3-4 defense, he's Jay Bigley.
Boobs are great. So I was just always so hammered, I don't remember anybody else drinking. That game last night really pissed me off, to be honest with you.
So let's start there, Jay Binkley. Did that game last night really piss you off?
Yeah, Dust Man, it was a big bag of suck, man. I was pissed off. So I sit there, you scratch your head, you go, why? You remember Tom Cruise in Top Gun? He goes, don't think, just do.
Right.
And so you're sitting there, you're thinking about it, just do it. 85 pitches, you're in crunch time. It's in August. We're about to be the mid-August. You're playing the Red Sox, the hottest team in baseball. You got a chance to go to a postseason. Your organization said, hey, let's go for it. Let's give Lugo more money. Let's make trades. And then you pull your pitcher with 85 pitches. Don't think, just do. Piss me off.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's really the first time in a while I've been angry at a regular season baseball game, right? Last night really angered me last night, and it angered me because as the manager and as the head coach in sports, you're supposed to put your people in position to be successful. I just don't think Hugh did that last night by going to the bullpen. That Burgert was cruising, man. Be like, you know, taking a guy out after, you know, going seven innings of no-hit baseball, but because he hit 100 pitches, you're taking him out of the game. There was no reason to remove that guy from the game last night.
Bob, it's tough, man. I mean, this organization, Sean Sherman, spending a lot of money, you know, on this team, made the moves. That clubhouse really excited about those moves. These guys are trying to get to the postseason. Your fan base wants you to get to the postseason. But 85 pitches, it's a professional pitcher. Let him do it. And you're facing a team that you needed to win that game. It's just so frustrating.
Yeah, it really is.
He needed some smelling salts.
Yeah. Well, Bigley, that's a good interview. We're going to let you go ahead and go short because you've been on for 85 seconds. We appreciate the time. No, I'm kidding. Let's get into your honey hole here. How many receivers are making this team, and how can they deal with the impending Rice suspension?
You know, I think seven. They kept seven the last 2 years, then five the year before that. And the one thing is, too, I mean, you look at it on paper, and you look at this receiving room and think, all right, it's great. Because Andy Reid at the end of minicamp says it's great that all these receivers are back this year. They understand the system. He even talked about, you know, still putting in formations throughout the seasons because of the new guys that they had a receiver last year. And now they've got everybody back. And then all of a sudden, Hollywood Brown is hurt, and we don't know how long that's going to be. And then, of course, if that coincides with the Rice suspension, now you're down two guys. Now it's Xavier Worthy, step up again. It's first-round pick, step up again, which he did great last year, and I'm really looking forward to seeing Worthy. But now Jalen Royals, who Andy Reid says really knows the playbook, and they really like what Jalen Royals can do with this offense. But you're going to be counting on guys, and I always say you draft two receivers. I mean, I know they do one. They throw a dart at Sky Moore, Rashee Rice, you know, and now it's Jalen Royals. But I always think two because these things can happen. Because when you have injuries coupled with suspension, you never know what happens. But I think seven make it. I think the guys at the very end, I think Nico makes it. And I think Tyquan Thornton make it. And Sky Moore, I don't think so. Elijah Badger, you know, practice squad, stuff like this. But Tyquan Thornton's the guy they really like. He's been making ridiculous catches. But Mahomes has talked about him a bunch. Andy Reid's talked about him a bunch. Those two cats are talking about you. That is good news. Dave Tobe was talking about him. He learned how to be, you know, special teams and the gunner and all the special teams he's going to play him on. And he learned from Matthew Slater, the best in the business, the 10-time Pro Bowler, when he was with the Patriots, learned how to do that. But he doesn't mind playing special teams. And Nico Remigio keeps getting spotlighted by Dave Tobe about how he keeps getting better and better. And he is a good returner in college. You know, Nico had two punt returns and a touchdown on a kickoff return back in college. But to hear he keeps getting better and better, and the fact that they're going to utilize the kickoff returns more now where they're going to spot the ball, I think seven does, man.
So does seven include Remigio on that roster just because of his return game, or can you see him contributing to the offense as well?
I mean, I think specialized plays and stuff like that, but I wouldn't count on it like he's going to go out there and get you, you know, 4 for 45 or 4 for 35, something like that. But Tyquan, I can see getting in on some certain packages with the Chiefs. But I think that I think they keep seven going forward. And, man, I just want to see this whole group play together, man. I want to see a healthy Hollywood Brown. I want to see Rashee Rice out on that football field with these guys and just see. Because on paper, I really, really like the receiving room. But, of course, the game's not played on paper.
When you look at that Jordan Addison announcement yesterday for three games, I know that he and Rashee Rice both got
kind of their from the law part, they got their deal on the same date. Do you think it's anywhere between 4 and 8 if you had to put a finger on it where he gets suspended?
I think it would be about 3, Dusty, but I mean, I would be shocked if it's 4 to 8. No, I wouldn't be shocked about anything. It's the NFL, and you never know what they're thinking or doing. I would think 3. I would think that's what it is, but I would not be shocked if it was more. But I'm hoping, and I'm really hoping it's 3.
Jay, let's look at the defensive line. I know you don't like Josh Simmons. Do you like Ashton Jelotti
Norman
Lear? Oh, you do like Josh Simmons because you hated the pick when they made it. So you're coming around now?
Bob, it was because of injury. I wanted a guy to start on day one, and you know that.
And he is.
But no, I love what Jelotti's doing. I love the little back and forth that Jelotti and Simmons have going on at camp where, you know, Jelotti, you know, makes
you're rooting for Jelotti, aren't you?
No, I like Jelotti. And not only that, but you look at the depth chart, and I know that the PR staff puts out the depth chart and all that, you know, take it with a grain of salt. But Felix was third string, so Jelotti was ahead of him. That shows you where the number one pick was a couple of years ago, that Ashton Jelotti, Norman Lott. Norman Lott was a rotational guy at Tennessee. You can go back and try to find his starts, and they weren't there because he was on a rotation. They used the 6-man rotation at Tennessee. But I love hearing what I'm hearing about Omar Norman Lott. And Ashton Jelotti, this dude's got one of those just high-impact motors, man. You're going to see him on the football field. But I'm really excited about a couple of these draft picks this season. You can throw Simmons in there, too. So I think this draft class, when it's all said and done, because I think we're going to see a lot of Noel Williams out there as well. But I think we're going to look back at this draft class and go, wow, again, like we did before with Veach.
Who has more receiving yards this year, Binkley, for your last question? Rashee Rice or Xavier Worthy?
Worthy.
Okay.
Oh, only because of the, without the suspension, 100% Rice.
Okay. Because he's the yak man, Mr. Rashee Rice, and then Worthy's the speed guy. 99 speed on Madden. I don't know if you saw that, Binkley.
That's right, Dust Man. But I would pick Rice if it wasn't for a suspension.
Yeah, for sure. But, he's the wide receiver one.
Would I be shocked if Worthy led this team in receiving yards? Absolutely not, the way he's growing.
All right, Bink. Well, hopefully tonight's game doesn't piss you off and they get a win in Boston. Got to get a win tonight, then you got to go sweep those Twins, you know, out in Target Field where Salvador Perez will hit at least 3 home runs.
Yeah, I need to go grab some smelling salts, fellas.
All enjoy. Right.
Take care, Binkley.
Later.
All right, that was Jay Binkley calling in with the guys earlier today. Look, you know, you know, for Bink's sake, and a lot of people think that Bink and I have beef. Bink and I don't have beef. I don't want to see Bink mad and irritated, you know? I really want Bink to be happy. Royals, by the way, 56-58. As it currently sits in the wild card standings, the Royals are 4 games back of the Yankees, who hold the last wild card spot. Ahead of them are the Rangers at 0.5 game, Guardians at 1.5 games. So, look, I'm optimistic. I think things will be okay. You know, you just got to keep on going, and things will keep going on the up, hopefully, and we'll just see how it goes. As far as I'm concerned, they're not out of it yet. But as we get into the next 2 weeks, things have got to start turning up a little bit for them. By the way, coming up here in about 10 minutes time, Mac Morey from the morning show is going to join. We're going to talk about something Chris Sims had to say about Chris Jones. And we're also expected in the next half hour or so to have Chris Jones, Chiefs defensive lineman, join Cody and Gold. So that coming up in just a few moments time. Again, if you're like, why the heck is Drew talking right now and Alex and Cody are not on the air, that's because they're driving back from St. Joe. Weather happened, as weather tends to do during the summertime, and yeah, they're on their way back from St. Joe. They'll be here in a little bit, so you gotta bear with me. I'm wearing the K-State shirt today, supporting the Cats. I got the, you know, we're talking Chiefs as well. There's no Bengals talk on here, I promise. The guys wanted to joke about that, but anyways, before we head to break, one thing that has come out, I don't know if any of you are interested, I would say probably not as the guest. Missouri is not doing this, which I think is unfortunate, but the SEC documentary came out, Any Given Saturday, where they basically, it's like Drive to Survive or the Quarterback series on Netflix, where they're following the SEC for the entire season of last year. A few clips have come out, really good content. It feels like it's actually, you're actually getting something as opposed to just not a bag of nothingness, but essentially that. You know, Hugh Freeze has a good speech that he gave in regards to a text that was sent from a linebacker. Diego Pavia is talking trash to everybody, which is entertaining. I feel like this is something, though, that, and now this is where I wanted to go with this. Missouri, I feel like, not that they dropped the ball on this, but, and I understand the hesitancy to be involved in a documentary and all these other things because you don't want anything to get out that shouldn't and all that other stuff. But when it comes to promoting a program, and college football is very much a marketing sport as much as anything is, recruiting, showing off your program, facilities, the environment, it's like a recruiting visit without actually going on a recruiting visit. You get to meet the players, you get to meet the coaches, you know, the facilities, the way that they kind of do things. It feels like you're immersed into that environment that a lot of people consider the best in college football. And I think Missouri ought to take advantage of that. And not to say that, you know, Coach Drinkwitz does a great job recruiting players, talent, portal stuff, all is great. It feels like, I think this is an opportunity maybe missed for them, but towards the Big 12, they've got to deal with Turner. I think it would be really interesting to see the Big 12 do something with Turner. They did a nice job producing the Inside the NBA documentary stuff. Why not do something similar where you're following the Big 12 or you pick a few teams and you follow, you know, a couple of teams across the country, you know, being able to show off your conference in a way that is in video form and we can see it and enjoy it and watch it. Like you can watch us on the stream. It enhances the content a little bit. I can watch K-State and KU play on a Saturday, but if I know I can go into the locker room and get access to Lance Leipold at practice and Coach Kleiman on a recruiting visit and talking to a player or talking NIL with Avery Johnson, like I want to be able to get immersed in that sort of a conversation. I think it helps you as the fans and me as a fan and Alex and Cody as fans and whoever. We get to appreciate that a lot more, whether it be the process and recruiting, the process and coaching. You get a lot more respect, I think, for the programs and coaches and players just the same as you do in the quarterback series, in Drive to Survive, in the Full Swing series, whatever the case is. I think it's a whole lot of fun. And I think something that maybe the Big 12 ought to look into. I mean, Brett Yormark has obviously done a fantastic job with the Big 12 and finding a lane for the conference to succeed in, and they've done a very nice job. From the text line, 913-586-7965, let's hear some of Cody's greatest hits. I'm not going to play any music. I will leave you with this, though, before we go to break and Mac Morey joins. Cody said this yesterday. Thought it was funny. Maybe you'll think it's funny, too.
Find a partner that likes your freak.
Hey, Cody's just giving you some advice. When we come back, Mac Morey from Fesco and Dusty joins the show. We're talking Chris Sims' comments about Chris Jones and why he's... I don't know why people just don't like the Chiefs, but people just don't like them nationally. More about that next.